Is this thing, yeah. So I was thinking, is this in your Bible? So tonight we're going to look at being childlike, okay? All right. Since I told you I was going to preach on that last week, and the Lord changed it. But turn 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. You know, children are sweet little creatures, aren't they? I remember a time that Jesus set the children on his lap and said, as such is the kingdom of heaven. And he illustrated that with a little child, you know. And I just think they're kind of nice. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for these that have come. Pray, Lord, that you'll bless us and we'll give you the praise. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You know, they are cute, aren't they? I was just watching one the other day in a restaurant. And, you know, I'll get to that in a minute. I don't think, I probably acted that way one time. And after that, I didn't go back to the restaurant. But they're nice. And when he says here, when he was a child, he spoke as a child, that's understood. A child acts like that. But there's an ugly side of childhood, isn't there? In childishness, boy, that's a big long word, Brother Bill, which sets itself at the very center of everything. And one of the worst possible things, I believe, is when a child refuses to grow up. So some of y'all men, grow up. See, I know some of these guys pretty good. And they got some pretty childish behavior, you know. It's funny, a lot of times we do things that are pretty funny when we're doing childish things, the pranks that we pull, and it's funny. But there's times that it's not funny when you're being a child. It's when that childish behavior dominates, and it results usually are disastrous in our lives. So childishness is a disaster for a church full of people that are acting like children. And I believe Corinth here was one of the, probably the worst in the New Testament. They argued, they fought, they split, and the results were pretty bad. They were a bad testimony of God's church. And when a church acts like a child, or people in a church acts like a child, he says, when I grew up and became a man, I put away those childish things. So we understand here that the Bible condemns childish behavior and encourages us in our Christian life, folks, to grow up and become what we're supposed to be. It's all right when we start out as a little child and we see someone become a young Christian and they do some things that are childish, and we overlook that. But after they've been a Christian for a while, they ought to grow up in their life. And it's, you know, it's important that we do grow up. Childishness is the exact opposite of really what it means to be a Christian. Now, get back to the behavior patterns of children. What makes a person childish? What makes an individual a child? Well, you think of children. Man, we had a house full a few years ago with all our grandkids, and you know, you love those grandkids, but the good thing about grandkids, you can send them home. Amen? And that gets sometimes that's the best part of it, you know. It's always good to see them come, but it's good, somebody said, when they see the taillights leaving. And, you know, I don't know if you've been there or not, but, you know, when a child is little, have you ever watched how easily they can turn on the tears? Man, they can turn on the tears just like that. I had one come into the house a while back, and she's ever happy. But, oh, when she's in a bad mood, she can just turn on those tears and just, you think she's going to die. You know? Why do they cry like that? One reason is they want people to notice them. Papa, my toe hurts. You know, and they always show you their hurts. That's what they've got to do. The little boy, he would say, Papa, your phone don't work. You know, I'd already say my truck won't work anymore, but they own the computers now and everything like that. Or my doll is broke and they just turn on the tears like nobody's business. But what they're saying is, or if you a child cries when their plans are interrupted, you see, those things. Well, that's pretty understandable on children. But when an adult acts like that, then it's pretty bad. You see, you have adults who are like children. They can turn on the tears. Instead of tears, we turn on the complaints, I believe, a lot of times in our lives. We have old, don't get mad at me now, we have old crybabies that nothing goes right for them. We don't have that here. We got good people here. I'm going to get out of this before I get into it, you know. We have, I thought I'd better wait another week last week, you know. But, you know, you got people that are going to complain about everything. The temperature is too hot. The water's too hot. No, no. I told Jody, I said, I should have just left it cold. But I told her I didn't turn that heat up. I didn't. But, you know, she didn't complain. That's all right. But, you know, we complain about we preached too long, or, you know, we didn't get out in time for lunch. I guarantee you, some people, we could watch 15 people come to Christ in salvation, and some people would gripe that the invitation went too long. You see, you have those complainers in your church. They complain about, we complain about the weather, don't we? But we complain about our health, we complain about our homes, we complain about the church. I found this little poem, you may have heard it before. It says like this, I found a little, nothing goes right for the folks you meet who make their way on Complaining Street. But all went well, there is no doubt. They'd gripe because there's nothing to complain about. And that's people, that's little children, isn't it? They just cry and they're easily upset. So if you're like that, don't complain. Look at the good side of what God is doing in the life of the church, what God is doing in the lives of people. We've had several young people come to know Christ lately, and that's just so great. And it's good to see them come back on Wednesday night to the Bible study. Some are here tonight. They're over in the other building. But it's so good to see them come back on Wednesday night because that's part of the growth process in Bible study. You want to soak up all the words you can. And then we've got those little ones that crave attention. You know, people always want to look at me. Look what I'm doing. You watch. A child will drag out every toy that they have when somebody comes over. And what they're saying is, look at me. Pay attention to me. The little girl in the restaurant, her daddy was trying to have a conversation, and she was saying, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And he was trying to conversate, and she finally gets up to his piece and says, Daddy. Boy, I tell you what. They want to get into conversation. They want to say, look at me. Why do people disobey, our kids disobey a lot of the time? Because the pain of a spanking is worth saying, look at me. Getting some attention in their life. Now, in adults, one of the ugliest traits is, look at me. I want the attention. You see, the Pharisees who loved the chief seats and in the public place of prayer, when a teenager drives down a highway and burning tires and going too fast, what do they say? Look at me. Look what I'm doing. And so often people break their backs in church work. And you know what they do? They're doing that because they're saying, look at me. Pay attention to what I'm doing. I believe we ought to test our motives before we do something. Do I do this because I'm wanting the attention, or do I do this because I really want to do the Lord's work? Remember what Jesus said, whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. That's what we ought to do for it. He said, let your light so shine before the world, and God will put it where it can be seen. You see, I'm all for giving these girls a hand and everything like that because they deserve it. They're good. But they don't do it because they want somebody to say, look at me. They do it because they love the Lord. But children, most of the time, they cry easily. And most of the time, they're saying, look at what I am. Then I was thinking of a little child. They has very little gratitude. Now, something as a father that I've learned, and I start to say as a pastor I have learned over the years that I've pastored a church here, that no matter how much you do for some people, it's never enough. No matter how much you do for some people, it's never enough. You know, children are like that, aren't they? I was sitting around this Christmas. Back when I grew up, we only got one toy if we got one toy. But in our family, we have four or five girls and one boy. And I guarantee you can have each one of them five presents. And when they open them all, they've got anything else? You know, you get any, how much do you want, see? And sometimes an adult is just the same way. They have very little gratitude for what people do for them. And we see this in many churches. And in the churches, they literally try to pick someone at all their flaws because they want them to look bad as maybe they do. And they see ingratitude towards those who do things for them. I had this come up years ago. You know, someone said, that pastor never visits me. And I had visited them and visited them and visited. The trouble is, they only remember the visits that you don't make. You understand that? People only remember the visits that you don't make. It's the same way when Brother Bill or Brother Teddy or anybody else, they'll say one thing. You cannot please some people. They're still babes, see? And that is the ugly side of a church when they have people like that. We ought to grow up, you see? I always tell people, I was in the hospital and you didn't visit me. When was you in the hospital? Oh, a few weeks ago. Well, we didn't know that. Well, I didn't know you were there either. And I didn't get mad at you for not coming to see me. I usually tell people, they didn't say, you didn't visit me. And I said, well, you didn't visit me on Sunday either. That really gets people shook up. Yeah, right. But they're really desiring attention to themselves, aren't they? Little children desire that attention, and they have very little gratitude for what you do for them. Now, that's all right. I don't get mad at my children, and I don't get mad at your children for not being showing a lot of gratitude. That's just the way children are, isn't it? That's all right. And we all forgive them for doing that. We just love them anyhow. But when it comes up to the stage level as adults, being that old baby, reflecting that ingratitude is not very good. It ruins your testimony. It ruins a church. You see? And then we feel little responsibility in our lives. Oh, let me tell you, children feel little responsibility. Children's lives are directed by these words, won't, I won't, and have to, not by the word ought to. They're won't, have to, and not by the word ought to. It's been my experience as a pastor, I find most things they do is because they want to do it. If you want to do something, people do it. If you don't want to do it, you just don't do it. But they're always saying, I couldn't do it, when really they didn't want to do it. Some things they do because they have to, and some things they do because they are asked to, but they do not do the things usually that they ought to. And when a person does not do the things they ought to do and do the things that they feel like they have to do to please somebody, that is the wrong thing. Now, how many do you know, little children, just decide, I'm going to help my dad. I'm going to help my mama wash the clothes. I'm going to help my mama clean the house. No, you don't. They don't do that, do you? If one of my kids ever come in and said, Daddy, I'm going to clean up the yard for you, I'd probably fall over dead. You know? They just don't do that. Children don't do that. Man, but they don't run in that gear. But we do things because we have to. I know I did growing up. Daddy said, you better get out there and clean that yard. I knew I had to. But when I grew up and I became a man, I wanted to do things for Dad so he wouldn't have to. You see? That's the way we are in church. We ought to do things because we want to do them for God. It's our responsibility. And a forgotten word today is responsibility. As adults, as our nation, we don't have that responsibility that we ought to. Very few things people like to do because they're the right thing to do. I tell you, if you just look at, I won't get on politics, but if you just look at our government and our things, man, we got a bunch of crybabies up there. We got a bunch that we, like I said, we ought to clean all of them out. Democrat, Republican, and everything. And just start over, there's such a mess up there. And that's the way it is in churches. And many people that come to our churches don't want to be a part of a church because they've got so many rotten people on the inside, it's more comfortable to be on the outside. I hear about it all the time. And I'm thinking, what in the world are people doing? You see, someone said the secret to a happy life is to not to do what you like to do, but like to do what you have to do. Now, that'll catch on some of you in a minute. Let me read it one more time. The secret to a happy life is not to do what you like to do. Anybody can do that, can't you? Not to do what you like to do, but to like what you have to do. Enjoy it. Get out there and enjoy it. That is a mark of maturity in your life. When you say, you know, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to like doing it because it's my responsibility. as a Christian, as a church member, I get so aggravated that we have to beg people to come to church. You know, I don't have to beg our men to go play golf. All you have to do is say, let's go play golf. And boy, you have a half dozen ready to go. But you say, let's go visitation. And every one of them will come up with an excuse not to. Or if you say, let's go to church, let's go to revival. Well, we got something else doing that date. Well, how long did you know about this revival? See, I told you last year. In our case, the year before last. But a mark of maturity is to put those things of God first in your life. And then there's that selfishness. Boy, I tell you what, that's another mark of a child. All that I've said so far, the crying, the, you know, the look at me, the responsibility not being selfish to please ourselves. Let me tell you, it's all summed up in that word, selfish. Selfish. A desire all above else that all, I believe, all sins proceed from is being selfish. A sin in human nature that we see at the very little child, even probably a newborn. It comes to be there. I've watched little children. Oh, I like to watch them, especially if they're y'all's instead of mine. Have you ever noticed in our house, when one comes over, you give them a toy to play with. The other one has no interest in that toy whatsoever until you give it to the other one. You watch a little child. They have a toy that's in their toy box. A guest comes over. They go over and get that toy. They may not have played with that toy in years. But what do they say? It's mine. Don't play with my toy. It's mine. Why? They're selfish. That comes out in a child's life. And it just, you know, it comes to our mind. They grab that and holler, mine, mine. And I'll tell you what, I watched a little girl one time. I thought she was going to pick up a hammer and hit her sister. Boy, she had, you know, unbelievable madness in her eyes. And we all have this tendency to live in a world all our own and measure everything by what it does for us. You see, what am I going to get out of this? Oh, we work hard because we love success, don't we? But let me tell you, maturity comes when we put the wishes of others, listen to this, wishes of others be more important than our own. That's when you tell a person is mature. When you know they don't want to do that, but they say, yes, we'll do it, because they know it's important for others. Sure, we like to pamper ourselves. We like to do that. But this is not the priority of being number one. I believe we ought to put others first, especially Christ. You see, if we put ourselves first, it's the exact opposite of what he's talking about in this chapter. Y'all know what this chapter is about? Love. Love. I started with verse 11 because I just didn't want to read the first ones of it. But I wanted to tell you, this chapter is about love. And he says, you know, love is above all. The greatest of these is love. And with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives as Christians, as we mature as Christians, we put God first, We put others second, and we put self last. Folks, that is the way we know that we're loving. You see, that's how we know that we're kind. That's how we know that we have put away childish things. And the verse of Scripture says, when I became a man, I put away the childish things. So look at your life tonight. I just want you to look at your life tonight. Do you cry a lot? Seriously, do you cry a lot? Do you whine a lot? Do you crave attention a lot? You know, Brother Teddy and I went over to see a couple the other day. I haven't seen them in over 7 years. I was ashamed of myself. I was really ashamed of myself. I really thought she'd passed away already. I had not been over to their house in 7 years. And you know what? She wasn't mad at all. She treated me as though I'd seen her yesterday. Ain't that right? What a lady. What a Christian lady. And her husband was the same way. I tell you, I felt God's love there. And when we left, you know, I still felt God's love. Now, most people wouldn't have been like that. I've been to some people's houses over and over and over again, and they complain about everything. You can ask Brother Bill. They complain about everything in the world and are not appreciative for one thing that God has done for them and one thing the church has done for them, but not this lady. And I will be back to see her, I'll guarantee you. She's got about maybe 6 months to live. It's Ms. Martin. Some of y'all don't even know her. Little Debbie was her daughter. Now you know her. What a lady that lady is. 91 years old and still praising God. And I thought about this message when I left there. I thought to myself, that is a mature Christian lady. I wish I had a church full of them. If all people were like that, woo, we wouldn't be fighting each other. We would be loving one another. And she prays for y'all. She prays for this church. Now, where do you fit in? Do you have an attitude like that? I pray you do. We need to put away the childish things. Put others first. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we have such a loving church and, Lord, loving people. Lord, I just pray for someone here tonight that doesn't know you or someone here tonight that knows you. And, Lord, they just need to recommit their life to you. Lord, they might come. Whatever decision they need to make tonight, Lord, let them just make that in their own heart that they might have revival in their life. For we know if we're going to have revival, we've got to get all the other junk out of the way. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.